We on? Thanks, Bill. Well, I think we all know that a couple days ago was Thanksgiving. And, you know, there was a time when even the leaders of our country understood that everything that we had, all of our blessings, came from God. And so some of them got together and they passed a law that we were going to have a national day of Thanksgiving. And have a day when we would give thanks to God for all the blessings that we have. Unfortunately, that's not the society that we live in today. But since that time, we've had this day every year of Thanksgiving. But unfortunately, I feel that it seems the problem is, I think with most people, is it's just another day for them to take off work and eat a lot and watch football and have a good time. Most people, I don't feel, ever have a second thought about God and being thankful for the blessings that they have. And you know what? If we're not careful, even those of us as Christians can kind of get caught up in that. Well, we look forward to a day that we can, you know, eat more than we should and take a nap and whatever. And there's nothing wrong with having that good meal. There's nothing wrong with family. Those things are good. There's nothing wrong with watching a football game if that's what you want to do. But are we thankful? Do we truly think about all the blessings that God has given us? Now, we have to ask a question. All of us this week, when we were on Thanksgiving, when we were doing these things, were we really thankful? Were we really thinking about what the meaning of the day was supposed to be? Or did we just maybe have a prayer before the meal and say thanks to God, and then we just went on like nothing else happened? You know, we have so many things to be thankful for. You know, and I sit here and I was preparing the sermon and I wrote out a list of all the things that I could be thankful for, that anyone should be thankful for. And I've got about 19 or 20 things on the list. And you know, I could have went on and on and on if I'd have broke it down. And if you're like me, you have a tendency to view the negative. I've always had a tendency to be more a negative person. That, well, this is wrong, and that's wrong, and this is bad, and why is this happening to me? We all have trials. We all have problems. But you know, if we'd stop and think about the good things we have, the blessings we have. You know, for instance, everyone in this room is getting older. And I'm middle-aged myself. Not old yet, but there's times when things don't work as good as they did when they were 20. There's times my legs don't want to work, and I've got a few aches and pains, and I'm sitting there thinking, here I'm trying to climb up a ladder or something, and the leg don't want to work, and I'm upset about it. But you know what? I have legs. There are people that don't have legs. I get upset because I've got sometimes got an old piece of junk car or truck that's broke down half the time, and I'm working on it. You know, there's some people can't afford to have a car or truck at all, and they have to walk everywhere. So I should be thankful that I've got the piece of junk to work on. And so I'm going to go through this list of some things that I wrote down. First thing we can be thankful for is that God is God. And that God is love. Aren't you thankful that Satan's not the guy in charge? What if Satan was God and God was the angel trying to fight an evil God? Wouldn't be very good, would it? We should be thankful to God for creation itself. That God created the whole universe. He created this earth. He gave us everything in it that we use. We should be thankful that God created mankind. He created us in His image to be His children. If He didn't create us, guess what? We wouldn't be here. Wouldn't have to worry about whether we're thankful or not. We should thank God for our daily needs, our food, our clothing, our home, all these things. If you have a job, you should be thankful for that. Because guess what? In today's society, if you don't have a job, if you don't have any work, you're not going to be able to earn any money, and you're not even going to be able to buy your daily necessities. You know, the only way God would provide your daily necessities then is by supernatural intervention if you didn't have a job. In today's society, a lot of people don't have a job. What about all the opportunities that you've had in your life? Your education and all these things. Those are blessings from God. God has made sure you have those opportunities. Do you think that most of the people in India and Africa and China have those opportunities or have that education? No, they don't. And what about all the luxuries that we have in life? You know, let's think about it. We sometimes tend to think that a lot of the things that we have in our lives are necessities, and they're not. You know, we all of us live in a home. We all live in a house. We can stay warm at night. We can do all these things. Do you realize that even an old run-down house, probably down the street here, that looks like it's ready to fall in, is a luxury compared to what most people have? God promises to take care of our needs, but you know, you could live in a cardboard box or a lean-to like they do in Haiti, and that would provide your needs. We have electricity. We have running water. Those are not necessities. Those are luxuries. We have TVs and computers and stereos and all this stuff, and everybody thinks, oh, if I don't have that, oh, my life's horrible. It's a luxury. And God has blessed us to have all those things. Let's get into some deeper things. What about God's calling and God's salvation? Are you thankful for that? Or do you just take it for granted? I think sometimes when we become Christians, we take this way of life for granted. We do it so long, we take it for granted. And we don't sit and stop and think about how wonderful it is. How great it is that God has called us and that God loves us enough to give us salvation. Are you thankful for God's mercy? Should be. If God was not merciful, we'd all be cinders right now. Are you thankful for...
We'd even be sinners.
Are you thankful for God's justice? Right. We wouldn't be here at all. But are you also thankful for God's justice? Yes, God is merciful, and thankfully, because of His mercy, He doesn't always impose justice, but justice is still necessary. Because there are people that won't repent. There are the people that are the wicked. And if God was not a just God, they would never be punished, and those of us that suffer under them would never be rewarded. Are you thankful that Jesus Christ suffered and died for you on the cross? You should be. Are you thankful for this? God's Word, the Bible, that teaches you everything that you need to know. Are you thankful for God's law that tells you the way to live? How about your relationships, your family, your friends? Are you thankful for your husband, your wife, your children, your parents? Are you thankful for your good friends? You should be. Those are blessings from God. What about your skills and abilities? We talked about having a job. You know what? I don't think that I would be going to work tomorrow and the next day if I'm too stupid to know how to drive a nail. If I couldn't lay block, if I couldn't do whatever, I wouldn't have the job I have. And none of you would either. You've all got skills and abilities that God has given you that allow you to live, to have a job, to sometimes even your hobbies and stuff are based on that, the things that you enjoy in life. Here's a big one. Are you thankful that you live in the United States of America, the greatest nation that's ever been, with the most freedoms and the most blessings that we have because of God's promise to Abraham? Are you thankful that you were born an Israelite instead of a Gentile? And I believe most of us were. And here's something else we should think about. And here's the one, when I started out, I started talking about all the things wrong, we get down depressed. But you know what? We should even be thankful for our trials. Because that's how we learn lessons. That's how we build character. That's how God tests our relationship with Him. So you see, we have everything to be thankful for. And hopefully this last week when we kept Thanksgiving, we were thinking about these things. But if we weren't, We should think about them now. You know, anytime you have something bad, and I'm trying to make myself do this, and I'm getting better at it. Anytime there's something wrong or something bad or something I think's not going right, and I start getting upset about it, I start thinking, well, wait a minute, what about all the blessings I have? And I need to be thankful for that. I need to be thankful that the problems I have aren't worse. Because there's a lot of people have a lot worse trials. You know, we're commanded to be thankful. Actually, the Scriptures tell us to give thanks to God. Let's turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, and we'll read verses 8 through 12. It says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the peoples, sing to Him, sing praises to Him, speak of all His wonders, glory in His holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. Remember His wonderful deeds which He has done, His marvels and the judgments from His mouth." See, we're told to be thankful, and we're told why. And that's why that I asked Bill to have for the reading Psalm 104. Psalm 104 doesn't actually use the word thanks, but tells us to praise God. But why? And it tells all the things He does for us. He gives us life. He provides everything. He's created everything. He's merciful. He's loving. And we need to be thankful for that. Psalm chapter 50. Psalm 50, verse 14. We're told, "Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High." We're supposed to offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving. You know, and in a sense, being thankful and giving thanksgiving is a sacrifice because it's the opposite of being selfish. Being selfish is looking at yourself. Being selfish is thinking that it all comes from you and it's all about you. Thanksgiving shows that it's not about you. It's about someone else. It's about God. Or, if there's another human involved, it's about the person who gave something to you, who helped you. Psalm 92:1. This will probably be a short sermon. If Shane Patty's not here, she would have liked it. Psalm 92:1, it says, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High." It's a good thing to do. It is a good thing to give thanks to God. In the New Testament, we're told some of these things. We're told to be thankful, and we're told some of the reasons we should be thankful. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18 through 20. If I ever find it myself, instead of just flipping back and forth here. Ephesians 5, verse 18, it says, and we'll break into the discussion here, it says, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord." So we're supposed, this is telling us that we're supposed to encourage one another in these things as well. "Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father." So we're supposed to give thanks in all things. Everything we do, anything we have, we're supposed to give thanks to God for. Let's turn now the book of Philippians, next book, chapter 4, verse 6. Philippians 4, 6, it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. So we're not supposed to be anxious over everything. We're not supposed to be worried about things. Unfortunately, we have a tendency to do that. I have a tendency to do that. And that's what I have to remind myself, to be thankful. But what does this scripture also say? It says everything by prayer and supplication. And it talks, you know, you do that, your prayer and supplication, you let your request be known to God with thanksgiving. In other words, if you go to God and you're asking for something, the first thing you should do is thank God for the things He's already given you. If all you do is just go and beg and beg and beg and beg and don't ever acknowledge what God's already given you, you're not praying properly. You're not asking properly. And you know, God might not grant a request. If He doesn't see that you're thankful for the things you have, He's not going to give you more. And we're told right here that our supplications, our prayers, our requests are supposed to be accompanied with thanksgiving for the things that we already have and what God has already done for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Second Corinthians 2, verse 14. Now here's Paul, and he's giving thanks to God, and he's helping us to understand the things that we should give thanks to God for. Paul says here in 2 Corinthians 2:14, "But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place." Now, you have to kind of understand when he talks about that He leads us in triumph. We have to understand that Jesus Christ, he's using the analogy of Christ being king here. And you know what would happen in Rome and in a lot of these ancient societies is if they would go to battle and they would go to war, the king or the emperor in this case, or the general, which Jesus Christ would qualify as all, would come back in and he would have a triumphal procession where he would come in and he would lead his soldiers and he would lead with all of the booty he had taken and all the riches and all the captives he had taken. And if there were captives that the other army had taken from him, he would have all those released prisoners and bring them with him as well. And this is what he's talking about, that Jesus Christ has, as that emperor, as that general, has came and has attacked the enemy and has set us free. And now we are walking in that procession as part of his army. And we need to be thankful for that. We are to be thankful for that salvation, for the fact that we've been set free from Satan the devil, and that now that we're part of the king's army. Let's go to stay in the same book and go to chapter 9, verse 15. 2 Corinthians 9, 15. And here it says, in verse 15, Paul says, "Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift." I can't even speak today. But what he's went through is how that God, verse 10 says, "Now He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness." And he goes through these things that God has provided physically and spiritually for us. And we need to be thankful for that. And it says it's an indescribable gift, the salvation and the blessings that He's given us. So you see, we are to be thankful. And we're even commanded to be thankful. And the Scriptures tell us things to be thankful for. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 1, verse 2. Verse 12. And it breaks in here and it says, "Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light." Do you realize that what God has done and is continuing to do is to make us qualified to share in that inheritance, to be part of the kingdom of God, to be spirit beings in His family forever? We need to think about that. That needs to be something that's in our mind every day, and we need to thank God every day for it. It should make us thankful. Chapter 3 of Colossians, verse 15. Verses 15 through 17, it says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." Are we thankful that we can have peace of mind through Jesus Christ, through God, if we'll just accept it? Are we thankful that we have been called into the body of Christ? We're told here we should be. "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God." Well, you see, we're supposed to admonish one another. We're supposed to encourage one another in doing these things, and encourage one another to be thankful. It says, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father." Here we're told, everything we do, we're supposed to give thanks to God. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. We're told here, it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." We're supposed to give thanks in everything. And we're told right here that it's God's will we do that. Well, if we're going to be true Christians and it's God's will, it's probably something we should do if we're going to have a right relationship with God. You know, you have to realize God Himself is thankful. Even though He created all things, He's thankful. I'm sure that Jesus Christ is thankful to the Father for everything that He has, because the Father is in charge, and yet He allows Jesus Christ to run everything. He's loving and merciful to Christ. I'm sure that God the Father is thankful to Jesus Christ that He was willing to be the spokesman, that He was willing to suffer and die and perform His part in the plan of salvation. Shouldn't we be thankful? If they're thankful to one another, shouldn't we be thankful to them? And you know what? God, I'm sure, is thankful to us, is thankful for us when we actually do the right thing. Because a lot of people don't. And there's a lot of times we don't. And we could willfully refuse to do so. Thankfulness is a part of the character of God. And so it's something that we should have. And now, like I said, this will be short. I just want to go back to the Psalms, and I want to read a few things in the Psalms that help focus our mind on our attitude that we should have in being thankful, and the things that we should be thankful for. Let's go to Psalm 136. Psalm 136, and I'm going to go through the whole psalm. I'm not going to read every word, but it says, Psalm 136, verse 1, it says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good." We're told to give thanks to God. Now, every one of these verses is telling us to give thanks to God, and it's telling us a reason why. "For His loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the God of gods, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His loving kindness is everlasting." Verse 4, "To Him," and it's implying giving thanks to Him, "to Him who alone does great wonders." And I'm not going to read the "for His loving kindness is everlasting," because that's in every verse, but it's there. So, verse 5, "To Him who made the heavens with skill." That's a reason to give Him thanks. Verse 6, "To Him He spread out the earth above the waters." That's something to be thankful for. What if the waters didn't stay in the ocean beds and sea, and everything was just all big mucky mess? Wouldn't be, I don't know if we could live or not. "To Him who made the great lights, the sun to rule by day, the moon and stars to rule by night." That's something to be thankful for, that the sun comes up every day. If the sun didn't come up tomorrow and the next day and the day after, life would cease to exist very soon. Howard was talking about being cold today. If the sun didn't come out for about a week, wouldn't even be able to go outside. To him who smote the Egyptians in their firstborn and brought Israel out from their midst with a strong hand and an outstretched arm, to him who divided the Red Sea asunder and made Israel pass through the midst of it, but he overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea. To him who led his people through the wilderness. You know, if you were an Israelite, I think that'd be something to be pretty thankful for. And you know, if you think about it, if we actually are the descendants of the children of Israel, I think we should be thankful for it too, because those were our ancestors. And we probably wouldn't exist today if God hadn't done that. And if we did, we'd be slaves in Egypt. That's something to be thankful for. Plus, it was also a part of God's plan of salvation that led up to the birth of Jesus Christ, that led up to the Scriptures being written for us. If those things hadn't, hey, God hadn't done those things, none of that would have happened. Verse 17, to him who smote great kings and slew mighty kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and gave their land as a heritage, even a heritage to Israel, his servant. God did this. And it plays along with what I just said, but also it proves God's faithfulness and He keeps His promises. That's something to be thankful for, because we know that when we read God's promises in the Scriptures, He's going to keep them, because He has a track record that He always kept His promises. Who remembered us in our low estate and has rescued us from our adversaries. Well, physically, He did that for Israel. What about spiritually? Hasn't God remembered us in our low estate? I don't know about you, but I was in a pretty low estate when God called me. And a lot of people are. That's when God can work with them. And He has brought us out of that. He has forgiven us of our sins. And He has rescued us from our adversaries, Satan the devil, his demons, our own sinful nature. It says, who gives food to all flesh. Well, there's something to be thankful for. Everyone here I know loves to eat. Probably most of you are sitting there wanting me to hurry up, shut up, so we can go eat anyway. But God gives that to us. He's provided everything that we can use for food. Verse 26, give thanks to the God of heaven, for His loving kindness is everlasting. See, if you notice, if you'll read the Psalms, that's one of the themes there is thankfulness to God. Praise to God for all that He's given us. That's one thing, and David wrote most of the Psalms. That's one thing about David. David was a thankful person. And it's, what does it say? He was a man after God's own heart. So if we want to be a man after God, or a woman after God's own heart, being thankful would be a good place to start. Let's turn to Psalm 105. Psalm 105, verses 1 through 3. It says, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make His deeds known among the nations. Sing to Him. Sing praises to Him. Speak of all His wonders. Glory in His holy name. And let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. Do you notice? Calling on God's name and giving thanks are tied together. But it also ties together with make known His deeds among the people. That's when we are thankful to God, and we are thankful openly, and people see that, we are making God's deeds known among the peoples. We're giving praise and honor to God. Let's go to the next Psalm, Psalm 106, and the first couple of verses there. It says, praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Who can speak of the mighty deeds of the Lord? Or who can show forth all His praise? We can't. We can never give enough praise to God. We can never give enough thanks to God. But we need to try. And you know, if we will learn to be thankful instead of complain, if we'll learn to think of all the things that we have and all the blessings we've been given instead of the things we don't have, we're going to be much better off. We're going to be much happier. And if we have that thankful attitude, as we read earlier, God is more likely to give us the things that we ask for because we appreciate what we have. And you know, it also applies to being thankful to one another. Sometimes God uses other people to do things for us. And we have to want, if we do something for someone, we have to want to do it. Are you thankful for the things that others do for you? Are you thankful that your husband, your wife, your children, that they love you, that they care about you? Are you thankful to them? Do you express that to them? That's part of being thankful as well. So, you know, Thanksgiving should be more than just a national holiday when people take off, work, and eat a lot, and get fat, and sit there and watch football and tell stories. It should be something that should help us understand that we need to be thankful. And the people, our founding fathers, and Abraham Lincoln, and even the people who made it a holiday, had that in mind. There were people who still believed that we need to be thankful to God. I don't think that they envisioned just having a day when everybody gorged themselves. Probably those men were probably thinking more of a line of a fast day than a feast day anyway. There's nothing wrong with so many of the traditions we have of Thanksgiving, but we need to learn, first and foremost, to be thankful to God and to others for what we have.